Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-ah! I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Isn't it amazing? Trump is more than a month away from becoming president again, and he's already impacted movements towards peace both in Ukraine and Israel. I fully expect that his efforts in Israel will result in the freeing of the American hostages being held there. To date, our government has, unbelievably, done nothing to try to free them. Okay, and we remember our World War II veterans and their families on this Pearl Harbor Day weekend. We formally entered World War II on the 7th of January, 1941, when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. Okay, joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is Marine vet Skip Coriel. This weekend is Pearl Harbor Day. Were you even born then, Skip?
No, but my father was, and I was but a twinkle in my father's eye on December 7th, 1941.
Oh, I think you're sort of a twinkle in my eyes. Okay, here's what we have for you today. On news and comments by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss women in close combat. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom. A guy who's an Army and Navy vet, Ed Hill, will discuss cybersecurity. Next, Steve Wilson will present HelpVet.net. Then we'll review last weekend's Surface Academy football games, and we'll meet another female veteran.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station and join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. And now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. First, we'll start with the news, of course. Take us there, Skip.
Well, Colonel, the ceasefire agreed between Israel and Hezbollah in Lebanon is good news, not just because it will bring the terrible bloodshed of the past few months to an end. It's a major setback for Iran, the backer of the terrorists that began the conflict with a continual missile barrage against civilians in northern Israel. As the key backer of Hezbollah and Hamas, responsible for causing the hostilities in the Middle East, Iran has a great deal to answer for. Reluctant to engage the Israelis in a direct war they know they'd lose, the Ayatollahs prefer to finance and equip Islamic groups to do their dirty work. Hezbollah's decision, taken in the immediate aftermath of Hamas's deadly assault on October 7 last year, to launch its own bombardment against civilian communities in northern Israel, was Iran's way of indicating that it stood four square behind Hamas. Hezbollah's ability to maintain its steady bombardment against Israel for most of a year was due to the supply of arms from Tehran, with most of it coming to southern Lebanon courtesy of the Syrian regime of Bashar al-Assad, Iran's closest ally in the region.
Just maybe the Lebanese people are tired of this terror and death and will run Iran and Hezbollah out of their country. Iran is in trouble, and there'll be much more trouble once Trump takes office.
And Russia's acts of sabotage against Western targets may prompt NATO to consider it to be an act of war, the head of Germany's Foreign Intelligence Service said. Bruno Kahl said he expected Moscow to further step up this warfare. Quote, "The extensive use of hybrid measures by Russia increases the risk that NATO will eventually consider invoking its Article 5 mutual defense clause," he noted. At the same time, the increasing ramp up of the Russian military potential means a direct military confrontation with NATO becomes one possible option for the Kremlin. Under Article 5, if a NATO member comes under attack, the other members of the alliance are obliged to help it respond. Many intelligence services have warned that Russia is behind a growing number of hostile activities across the Euro-Atlantic area, ranging from repeated cyber attacks to Moscow-linked arson, all of which Russia denies. Kahl said Russia's military would likely be capable of attacking NATO by the end of the decade, adding that Moscow's war on Ukraine meant that it had battle-proven troops under its command, which raised the threat emanating from its conventional forces, while it also mastered modern drone warfare.
All this is true, but it also showed that Russian generals are quite incompetent in ground warfare, and their troops know it. That said, it's appropriate to hold Russia accountable for the attacks that they are conducting.
Ukraine is actively redirecting Russian explosive drones back toward Russia and Belarus, by confusing their navigation systems, according to a new report, as Moscow hammers Ukraine with large-scale kamikaze, uncrewed aerial vehicles, and missile strikes. Kiev has been spoofing the Russian-launched Iranian-designed drones by intercepting satellite coordinates, French newspaper Le Monde reported, citing a source close to Ukrainian military intelligence. Navigation systems used in weapons like drones can be jammed, where location tracking is blocked or fall prey to spoofing. This is where a device is given false location data, making its system confuse its true whereabouts.
You know, you never know what's going to happen next. I suspect we've learned about this technique from Ukraine, or maybe we shared it with them.
And North Korean troops deployed alongside the Russian army in the Kursk region are reportedly well-trained but not being used on the front lines, says a Russian war blogger. While several intelligence agencies have confirmed that North Korean troops are in Russia, Moscow has not officially acknowledged this. However, a war blogger has shed light on what's happening. The Telegram channel Romanov Light revealed that North Korean soldiers are indeed present but aren't being used directly on the front lines. According to Kiev, over 11,000 North Korean soldiers are deployed in the Kursk region, part of which remains under Ukrainian control. Reports indicate that some North Korean troops have been injured in combat, most recently that a British missile wounded one of their generals.
Okay, so what are they doing if they're not fighting? There are other reports that many have deserted to Ukraine. Only time will tell.
And a Chinese cargo ship deliberately severed two critical data cables in the Baltic Sea by dragging an anchor across the seafloor over 110 miles while off radar in an attack orchestrated by the Kremlin, a new report has claimed. European officials were apoplectic after key cables running from Lithuania and Sweden and Finland and Germany were cut in November 17 and 18.
China is conducting all kinds of war against us and others and against NATO countries. I wonder if and when this warfare will involve military attacks by one side or the other. It is war.
And a retired U.S. general revealed that he was bugged by Chinese spies with a device hidden in a name tag given to him at a conference. Lieutenant General Anthony Crutchfield wore the ID unaware his every movement was being tracked while he was serving in the Indo-Pacific. Crutchfield drew on his experience to illustrate how someone is always collecting on you, whether it be a supermarket or a nation state. Chinese state surveillance of targets has reportedly included hiding a listening device in a teapot given to a civil servant departing Beijing and planting a tracking device in a government car. Crutchfield revealed another use of spyware, which was later detected by his counterintelligence operatives. Quote, they knew that I was a general, and I went to a conference, and when I came back from that conference, my counterintelligence people said, sir, we need to see everything that you took. They did their assessment. They took apart my name tag, you know, the little name tag you have saying my name is whatever. When they peeled that apart, there was a chip that knew my every move. Knew when I was coming, when I was going, knew where I was. So you can't be naive with those kinds of things, and they're happening to us. I don't want to sound paranoid, but it is happening to us.
China is our major enemy. They are at war with us now. It's not just a shooting war yet. We need to get them out of our colleges, out of our schools. We need to get them out of our nation. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well-run and on the right path. Politics and politicians can be confusing, but we can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a veteran, in getting involved and getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. Check CVAFrontlines.com. That's CVAFrontlines.com. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel and we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk cybersecurity. At East Troops, take a break. In business for over 30 years with over $1 billion in sales, Universal Coin and Bullion is my go-to source for gold and silver coins And right now, they're offering our listeners a newly minted 0.99 fine 1 ounce 2024 silver American Eagle coin for just $27. Call 800-UCB-GOLD, 800-UCB-GOLD, or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny.
This is Marine Vet Skip Correa with your home defense tip of the week. Neighborhood Community Watch was established by the National Sheriff's Association back in 1972 in response to the rising crime of the 1960s. You can form your own Neighborhood Crime Watch by logging into www.nnw.org. Above all else, get to know your neighbors and work together as a community. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
It's time to switch to Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you access to all three major networks. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support the First and Second Amendment, the sanctity of life, our military veterans, and first responder heroes. Just go to patriotmobile.com/frontlines. Get a free month when you use the offer code FRONTLINES.
HelpVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with all of your everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, health-related services, or information on retirement planning, financial resources, or more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all of your daily needs at HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net wants to thank you for your service, and may God continue to bless the U.S. of A.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the Front Lines of Freedom all across America. Troops, even if our economy wasn't a mess with inflation going crazy and prices up out of sight, I'd still recommend that you do some investing in precious metals, gold and silver. I encourage you to join me in purchasing these solid investments from Universal Coin and Bullion. Find them at universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. Pete Hegseth is President-elect Trump's choice for Secretary of Defense. I think he's a great choice. He served on active duty and in the reserve components of our Army, including being in combat. He ran Concerned Veterans for America for years before going to work for Fox News. He's seen the horrible mess that is our military's senior leadership and has written a book about it. The things that he plans to change are right and are clearly what Trump wants changed. I've opposed and will continue to advocate for the end of the woke culture, and ending it should start at our service academies. However, Pete also advocates getting women out of close combat units. I've advocated that since the Obama administration created it. This is not to say that women should not serve in our military. Most of our positions can be filled by any fully qualified male or female. Indeed, women make extremely good pilots, and that can involve direct combat. But men and women are different. I remember maybe 10 years ago when my wife was about to have a knee replacement surgery. I was talking with a doc who was about to do the surgery. He'd done my knee a few years before, so I kidded him, saying at least he had familiarity with Gillum knees. He responded by telling me that men's knees are very different than women's knees. The bones coming down from the hips come at a different angle. Men's bones are more dense, thus less flexible than women's bones. And men have more muscle mass, and all this impacts tendons and ligaments and stuff. Women's knees are shaped differently than men's. And if you go south of the knee, the differences continue. I learned something that day. The surgery went well. Okay, then there's what I call sexual tension. For infantry units, and I served 22 years in the infantry, most of the troops are between the ages of 18 and 22. In combat, troops literally totally depend on the rest of their team to cover for them and risk their lives with them as they attack the enemy. A squad that isn't truly a self-supporting team will suffer greatly in combat. We're talking life and death. And men and women in that age range are very sexually aware. An infantry squad has 11 soldiers in it. Let's say that there are 7 men and 4 women. 3 of the guys are interested in one of the women. They are now in competition with each other. If she picks one of them, the other two are a bit annoyed with her. Could this affect the effectiveness of a squad in close combat? And if a guy and a gal in the squad do pair up, then they're now more interested in protecting each other than they are the entire squad. And suppose the squad is part of a defensive position. There are a series of two-person foxholes around the facility they're protecting. The normal thing in this case is that one of the two troops in that foxhole is 100% alert for the enemy. The other one can be eating or sleeping or whatever. Just might that couple have some time when their interest in each other means no one is alert? Might the enemy break through and destroy whatever it is they were there to protect and kill the other members of their unit? Now let's put that unit, infantry or special operations, on a patrol near enemy positions. This could be done during the day or night. Usually, troops hydrate before such a mission. If a guy needs to urinate, it's no big deal. He can do it anytime the team stops. If he needs to have a bowel movement, any tree will do, and he's done. And if a woman needs to do so, then the team needs to find a place for privacy. She'll likely have to take off her combat gear. All of this takes time and makes noise. Not a good thing when lives depend on finding the enemy before the enemy finds you. It's worthy of note that during World War II, Russia had all female infantry units. I don't know how well they performed. A couple of decades ago, the Army decided that women can be good helicopter mechanics, and indeed they can. The very heavy toolboxes they need are on wheels and can be pulled along the airfield runway. And then came a war in the Middle East, where there was sand on all the landing fields, and the women needed a man to carry the toolbox. We must acknowledge there is a difference between men and women and take common sense into a consideration when we consider who can be in the various positions and units. And those are my comments for today. Americans, we owe our freedom to the sacrifice and courage of our heroes in uniform. Did you know you can support our military veterans and first responders just by using your cell phone? Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They put the cause ahead of profits, and that's why I'm a proud partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to while giving back to our heroes. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support Folds of Honor, Tunnels to Towers, and more places. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Just go to patriotmobile.com/frontlines. That's patriotmobile.com/frontlines. And get a free month of service when you use the offer code FRONTLINES. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. Now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have this week, Roland?
Colonel, the U.S. Coast Guard cutter Hamilton has made a significant impact on the fight against narcotics trafficking. Offloading more than 16,000 pounds of cocaine at Port Everglades, Florida, valued at over $183 million. This seizure is a result of several interdictions that were conducted by the Hamilton's crew, which targeted drug smuggling operations in the Eastern Pacific and Caribbean Sea. This mission highlights the importance of collaboration between the U.S. and allied forces, which of course disrupts organized crime networks and prevents large quantities of these illegal drugs from reaching American shores. The success of this operation showcases the skill, determination, and the commitment of Hamilton's crew, along with other agencies, including the U.S. Navy, U.S. Customs and Border Protection, and law enforcement agencies from countries like the Netherlands. These efforts not only protect the United States, but also strengthen regional security by reducing the influence of these national criminal organizations that perpetuate violence, corruption, and instability in these vulnerable regions. As drug cartels continue to evolve their tactics to evade capture, the U.S. Coast Guard remains vigilant, using cutting-edge technology and intelligence to combat these sophisticated operations. And in this case, the interdictions were the result of a long-standing and proactive effort to monitor high-trafficking routes and act swiftly when suspicious activities were detected. This operation also serves as a reminder of the critical role the Coast Guard plays in national and international security. The drugs intercepted represented not only financial loss for the traffickers, but also the prevention of potential harm to the communities that these drugs would have reached. You know, the Coast Guard is not only a law enforcement or search and rescue organization, but they also maintained aids to navigations, such as lighthouses and buoys. And although it's one of the seven armed services in the U.S., it falls under the Department of Homeland Security and not the Department of Defense. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. I really enjoy your comments. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll talk with Ed Hill about cybersecurity. Then we'll discuss helpvet.net. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You're standing tall with the Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for sit-ups. Do 50, then stand at ease.
The U.S. is more than $32 trillion in debt, a number that is going up by the second.
Meanwhile, our country faces expanding global threats while our military readiness is consumed with unnecessary engagements elsewhere.
If we want to be safe in the future, we need to get our debt and spending under control. Visit cvafrontlines.com to learn more and join the movement. That's cvafrontlines.com.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. So it's an honor to welcome Ed Hill. He's both a Navy vet and an Army vet. And what he knows a lot about is cybersecurity, a topic that our nation and the world needs to take ever, ever more seriously. So welcome, Ed. Or am I supposed to say welcome aboard since you're a squid?
Yeah, I think that's the proper terminology there. But yeah, thank you for having me. It's an honor, Denny. Thank you.
Ed, tell us about your time in uniform. I know that you were in the Navy, but you also joined the Army. Talk about that. Why did you join them initially? And talk about your time in uniform.
Absolutely. So initially I joined, I'd say a lot of it has to do with the inspirational men that were in my life growing up as a young teenager. So my grandfather, my dad's side of the family, he was Navy, so he was actually stationed on the USS Wasp, and that was during like the Korean conflict, I believe. So he was in Norfolk, and this is where it gets interesting, because I served in the military and I was on a ship as well, but like I never switched mid-tour, so he only did a four-year tour, but during that time, they went over to North Korea area, and he actually got on to, so he started on the Wasp and then went over to the Hornet. So that was an interesting thing. So he basically circumnavigated the world by going between the two different duty stations there. So that was my grandfather. So I grew up hearing those stories. And then on my mom's side of the family, both my uncle and my abuelo, so were Hispanic. So they actually served in the Marine Corps. So my grandfather, and I got more information about this, so he actually received a Purple Heart because he was in the Battle of the Chosin Reservoir. So I'm not sure if you're familiar with that battle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it was really interesting too, because later in my career, when I finally got to my ship, which was my first duty station, I was stationed on the USS Chosin, so my abuela thought it was really poignant, you know. So, yeah, I have that's kind of those are the guys that really inspired me, along with my father. My father was prior Navy; he was an aviation technician as well. And then from there, he got out after 4 years. But I always heard all these wonderful stories growing up of those Navy stories and things like that. So.
So what did you do in the Navy? What was your specialty?
So Navy, we have what is like, instead of like your MOS, it's our rate, right? So I joined as a CT. So it's a cryptologic technician. I did the collection operations. So that's basically listening to the RF spectrum and listening for signals of interest. If you remember kind of the stuff with Pearl Harbor, the guys who heard and listened to the Japanese coming over beforehand, that was kind of what my role was. I was listening to the radio frequencies and providing actionable intelligence for our troops and sailors. So.
Wow. Okay. And you stayed in for 4 years, did you?
Yeah. So actually, I did 4 years for my first tour, and then I reenlisted. Total of it was about 7.5. I got out a little bit early for that one. But first tour, I was, like I said, a collection operator on the USS Chosin out of Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, promoted to watch center supervisor while I was there. And then while we were out, it was actually interesting because we got some of the latest and greatest collection equipment. So I was in the right place at the right time. So actually then reenlisted to fulfill a E6 billet as an E5. So I made E5 in that first tour and then went down to the schoolhouse in Pensacola, Florida, where I was an instructor. And I got a lot of experience, you know, teaching and training different students, ranging from 18-year-olds all the way up to those who are getting older in the service too. And also achieved my master training specialist certification while I was there. So have a lot of experience in advanced curriculum development, testing instructors, creating web-based training, all that good stuff. Got that experience during that tour as well. So,
okay. And then you got out, but you got in the Army. Were you in the reserves or something?
So I got out of the military and still had my top secret clearance. So I worked as a Department of Defense contractor. So worked on various contracts, was out in Colorado for a little bit, and then eventually moved back to the East Coast to be a little bit closer to family because I was, you know, out in Hawaii at first and then Florida. East Coast was a little bit closer to Michigan, so moved out there, and I was working in the counter IED mission so during that. And then from there, after working as a defense contractor for a while, which that was an interesting role because I was actually going around the world teaching different special forces individuals on how to use some of the technology that we were using to help find IEDs at the time. And that's also where I got a lot of my experience working with Microsoft. So that was one of the tool stacks that we were training some of the special forces on as well. So,
okay, that makes sense. So you didn't join the Army, you just worked with the Army.
Well, sorry, let me backtrack. So after that, all the attention that I got from actually helping those special forces, I actually was recruited from the Army, recruited away from the Army Corps of Engineers to join as a federal civilian. So that was an interesting perspective because I had joined the service as an enlisted professional, right? So when I got recruited by the Army, I was the equivalent of an officer. So essentially working alongside a three-star general and the chief of military intelligence, and I was hired as an intelligence specialist for the Army Corps of Engineers in the Transatlantic Division. So there we did a lot of cool stuff where we were actually trying to identify why IEDs were happening in theater and why our guys were getting attacked and hit. So actually did a lot of analysis and some reverse engineering to find out exactly where the breakdown was occurring. And then we ended up helping save a lot of lives and identifying a lot of locations where our facilities were being built in theater.
You referred to IEDs. Tell us what those are.
Improvised explosive devices. Okay. I need to throw out those acronyms, you know, like we do. So.
Yep. I know exactly what you're talking about. This is Colonel Denny Gilliam on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Ed Hill about cybersecurity. Okay, so let's talk generally cybersecurity. Since I'm really ungeeky, the only thing I know about cybersecurity is it's really important, and it's getting a whole lot more important. So sort of give us cybersecurity 101.
101. So the biggest things to understand is, I think from a cybersecurity perspective is, yeah, there's those regular criminals out there that are trying to get your information, but there's also nation state actors, right, that are targeting our U.S. businesses. For me, cybersecurity boils down to some very simple things that you want to protect your information and your data, right? So there's a lot of small actionable steps that you can take. Just being mindful of, I'll give you some of the simple ones, right? So when you get a text message from an unknown number, don't click any links. As soon as you click on a link, that can start a chain reaction of events that could potentially get you compromised, especially if you're not running the proper protections behind the scenes for your information in your business. So just be mindful of things from strangers. Those emails are getting better and better from a phishing standpoint where they're trying to trick you to click any links. The biggest thing that you have to realize is that you have to actually click something or do something to get compromised. So that's the biggest thing. So just be vigilant is my main recommendation for people.
Okay. Is AI part of all this? This artificial intelligence thing? Is this going to be part of that?
Absolutely. And I think that's some of the biggest concerns I have right now in the cybersecurity space is, you know, obviously with OpenAI out there and ChatGPT, a lot of people are using that. One of the biggest things that I think business leaders might not be aware of is that those open source ChatGPT type things out there, if you don't have any of the AI governance policies and things in place from a technological standpoint to protect your data, using those ones that are currently open source, like if your employees are going out and, you know, running queries on ChatGPT, if they use any of your proprietary information in those queries, that then becomes available for everybody. So we actually help to lock down those systems, put the governance in place to help protect your intellectual property before you start using those AI features and capabilities. And that'd be like the generative AI type situation. So,
okay. So what's at risk is basically everything electronic, cell phones, conversations, texts, emails, all that kind of stuff. Am I right?
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. So, and what you're saying is we need to be aware so that we don't accidentally give somebody access to whatever we're dealing with.
Yeah. So any of your trade, your business trade secrets, intellectual property that you're worried about protecting, there are ways, and there's only a select few groups of companies that are actually trying to pursue this, but there are ways in which you can put technical policies in place that protect the information, the underlying data, so it doesn't get exposed to these large language models, right? So, so that's a big part of our educational piece that we try to provide to people.
There's more to discuss about cybersecurity, and Ed's going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Yeah, troops, it's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's so many I do. Well, I used to before I got into my mid-80s. Anyway, take a break, but stay in the area. We'll be right back. If you ever have to defend yourself or your family, you will likely need legal support, as there is almost always an investigation. After you call 911, call U.S. Law Shield so you can have immediate legal support. This is why U.S. Law Shield was formed. They're here to help people through events they never thought would happen to them. Their attorneys are available 24/7, 365. Learn more or sign up at uslawshield.com, promo code Frontlines. That's uslawshield.com, promo code Frontlines.
Friends, Adam here, Patriot Foods, U.S. only company. Frozen fruits and vegetables straight from our dirt, not overseas. Support the U.S. farmer. When you shop at patriotfoods.com, we give back to a military family in need. We got to take care of each other, my friends. We have to. So important. 10% off patriotfoods.com. 10% off, promo code FREEDOM, and shop today.
When considering precious metals investments, credibility is paramount. That's why I chose Universal Coin and Bullion. They have a long-standing reputation in the industry that instills confidence in investors. Plus, the company's president, Dr. Mike Fulgens, is recognized as America's gold expert by his peers and the U.S. government, and was named Dealer of the Year by the American Numismatic Association. Call 800-UCB-GOLD or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation on cybersecurity with Navy and Army vet Ed Hill. Okay, Ed, take some time and talk to us about really what cybersecurity is. Is it something that somebody can just listen to or access, or what is it we're looking to avoid?
Yeah, all great questions. So cybersecurity is broken down in a lot of different ways, or not a lot of different ways, but you have basically your people who are doing the protection, and then you have the people who are doing the offensive operations. They call those blue team and red team. JADEX is primarily blue team. So we help businesses with the protection side of things from a cybersecurity standpoint. So that's going to be putting your antivirus in place, things like a email security to protect against that malware that might be coming through, or ransomware opportunities in those email phishing type of scenarios, right? There's also a lot of things that businesses can be doing to test and train their users on phishing emails. So we offer phishing simulations that you can go through that will basically send simulated emails to your employees. They may or may not get tricked, but if they do, they're going to receive training automatically sent to them. So that's one way of addressing it. But we do everything, again, from that endpoint security, so managing each of your devices. I'd say this is a huge gap in the business community right now, is that you have a lot of people after the pandemic who wanted to jump online and work remotely. Problem is, without taking certain precautions and putting things in place, you actually are jeopardizing your business without doing that. So there's a lot of things that you might want to protect against. For example, you can protect your mobile devices and protect the applications. So that way the data's kind of got a bubble around it to protect it from getting anything compromised from outside sources. So that's one thing. There's also things like data loss prevention. You see this a lot where businesses, you have employees who will walk off with downloads of papers, white papers, sensitive information, things like that. If you have data loss prevention policies in place, you can be alerted and they can be prevented from taking or downloading those things. So some of these different like nuances and different things that you can do from an admin side of things, which is what we do, right, can help you to alert and keep your business safe.
You know, you raised a good point that the people wanting to work at home and all the stuff that went through COVID and all that kind of stuff, that's still really significant. And it really did make us more vulnerable at all kinds of levels, didn't it?
Absolutely. It's one of those things where like you have to really balance the convenience versus the security. And what I tell businesses and people who are looking to potentially promote that remote workforce is that before you do any of that and jump into it, you absolutely want to do an assessment, take a look at where you're at from an information protection standpoint. And then from there, find those low-hanging fruit where you can start knocking off vulnerabilities, different exposures that you might have, and then implementing some of these solutions that will help protect your users when they're working remotely.
Okay. And how about education that's doing more online? Since there's not trade secrets being traded there, is that still giving or making people vulnerable to be accessed by whoever it is that's doing this stuff? So do we have to watch all kinds of communication, you know, email and computer type stuff?
Yeah. So there are different things. The key thing, like way that they're going to get in and attack you potentially is that A, they're going to look for all different types of vulnerabilities, whether that be sending mass emails to your employees, right? Or whether it's they've done some research, done some social engineering in some cases where they will reach out and they'll call you. They'll pretend to be an IT professional, for example, working for your bank. All these different scenarios, they use everything. What a lot of people need to understand is that these individuals who are targeting you, it's a full-time job for them. So there are literally criminal organizations that are structured like Fortune 100 business, and they have an entire staff that they're going out and they're selecting and targeting specific people, especially those of us who may or may not have the skill sets and are up to speed on those different threats that are out there. So you just, again, it's always about the vigilance. But yeah, it can come at you from any different number of ways, from those emails. I've heard stories, again, where people will call and they'll use that information to kind of, again, do that social media exploitation, and they'll get information from you to try and use it to exploit you. So,
okay. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Ed Hill. And my wife is a bit more geeky than I am. When we get something through the email telling us to check something or click something, her response is that she'll find that company's phone number, something we got from it, and she'll call them and ask them if that's what they're doing and ask them to send a link directly. That makes a lot of sense to me. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely. That's definitely one method of doing this. And again, just the caveat I would say is just beware, right? They might be prepared for those phone calls as well. So the biggest thing is if, you know, it's always one of those things. If you don't recognize who it's from, you haven't communicated with this person before, just be leery of it. So a good way is to go out and look and make sure the number, the other things you'll notice too in these emails and these text messages you might receive, they'll have a phone number, but it may not even match the phone number of the business that you're that are saying they are. So you can do a little bit of investigative analysis yourself and kind of, you know, figure some of these things out on your own as well.
Okay, well, that makes sense. Thank you for this. Ed, take a couple of minutes now and talk to us about what you're doing now and how listeners could get in touch with you or learn more or get help.
Absolutely. Thank you again for the opportunity, Denny. So Right now, I am the CEO and founder of JADEX Strategic Group. If you know, you kind of heard my story here, the biggest thing that I can say is that since I was in the military to now, the biggest thing, the value that I find is being able to help and protect people. So that's really what we're trying to do, is help and protect businesses. So anybody who supports freedom and democracy, any organization, that's who we want to help. With that, we will help you. Where the biggest difference between us and our competitors is we only focus on Microsoft 365. A lot of IT and cybersecurity vendors out there, they want to sell you everything under the sun. We only partnered with Microsoft specifically because we knew that there was a gap in the industry where a lot of people are using Microsoft 365, but not necessarily using it to its full extent. So we focus on security, helping you save cost savings by making sure your licensing is correct there, helping you to address any compliance or regulatory needs, and then increasing productivity, because with Microsoft 365, it's not just about the cybersecurity features, which are great there, but there's also a lot of great tools for productivity to help you in your business streamline and be more efficient as you go forward. So we help people to adapt to remote work. We help them to improve the use of Microsoft 365, secure those Microsoft 365 environments, address any unique business challenges you have, and then put that AI governance in place so you can get the best benefits and use for that. So if you want to reach out to us or you want to get a hold of me, the best way to do that is reach us out through the website. We have different forms. You can go on there and click contact now, and then you'll be able to go ahead and reach us. The website is www.jadexstrategic.com. That's JADEXSTRATEGIC.com. And you can also reach us at 1-833-568-3925.
That's super. Take a minute now, if you would, and wrap things up. What are the key things you'd like our listeners to take away from our conversation today?
The key things I'd like you to take away is that there is a dedicated effort by those who do not support freedom, who want to take advantage of you, whether that be foreign state actors or criminals that are out there. They're actively targeting businesses with AI, just like we're using AI, they're using AI. So everything's getting better. The biggest thing I want to tell everybody is just be vigilant. If you have a business or an organization that cares about your information, your data, your trade secrets, you have to do the thing, take the steps to protect it. So if any of that sounds important to you and that you want to learn more, please reach out to us.
One more time, your contact information, your website, and your phone.
Yes. Website, again, is jadexstrategic.com. That's JADEXSTRATEGIC.com. Yeah, or you can send us an email, info@jadexstrategic.com. Or the phone number, once again, is 833-568-3925.
Thank you, Ed. Thank you for these excellent comments and insights, and thank you for your service to our nation. I'm glad we're friends.
Likewise. Thank you, Denny.
This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour learning about helpvet.net. Then we'll discuss last weekend's Service Academy football games, and we'll meet another female veteran. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag military history and our self-defense report. U.S. Law Shield is a part of the Frontlines of Freedom team. If you ever have to use weapons for defense of your family and yourself, and you ever need to use a legal weapon doing it, you're going to need a legal defense. U.S. Law Shield is the team my wife and I use. Go to uslawshield.com. Use the promo code FRONTLINES. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for pull-ups. Do 40 good ones, maybe 20 more push-ups. Then grab some protein, rehydrate with water. And finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.